Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is another book review. Vishal Maglawati, a Christian philosopher from India, has just published his first volume in a series called This Book Changed Everything. Subtitle, The Bible's Amazing Impact on Our World. If you need a good book to take to the beach this summer, put this on the top of your list. Most books today, even in the Christian realm, aren't worth the paper that they're written on, but this book is a gem. I might even add it to my list of 50 books every Christian needs to have in his library. This book Changed Everything, deals with some history, some philosophy, the errors in modern liberalism. It's not too academic or technical. It's filled with a lot of good anecdotes and stories. It's a light read that will cause you to stop every few pages and daydream about some really big ideas. At least it did for me. It gives many historic and philosophical examples of how biblical truth has been weaved into Western culture, and how it has made our lives so much better in politics, in journalism, in business, in government, in human rights. As Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Free from what? Well, free from superstition, ignorance, inactivity, purposelessness, evil. One of the great points Maglawati makes is that the Bible gives us a moral framework, a worldview, even the language and the logic that makes life worthwhile. It's the Bible that gives meaning to words like father. In the secular worldview, a father is simply someone who produces a child. But the Bible gives a whole new spiritual, moral dimension to fatherhood. We would not know or understand fatherhood apart from God's revelation found in the Bible. It's a Bible that gives meaning to the word love. In materialistic atheism, love is just a chemical reaction in the brain, just like anger is a chemical reaction. So what makes one emotion better than the other emotion? The Bible gives meaning to the word life. We have a right to life because life has value. We're made in the image of God, and only God can create and take a life. But in the secular worldview, life becomes cheap. There is no right to life. A baby in the womb doesn't have a right to life. And now, as our society is departing from the Bible, social leaders are now discussing the possibility of killing unwanted children after they're born, which is a practice that was really done before the advent of the Bible. In ancient pagan cultures, in pagan nations today, and even among ungodly, unprincipled, wicked people in America. We read all the time about evil parents killing their children. The Bible gives meaning to the word male and female, because in the beginning, God created them male and female. So there's a profound distinction in the genders. Genders are not fluid. There are not 57 varieties of genders. There are two distinct genders with different roles and responsibilities because God made them male and female. God's truth establishes the meaning of the word boy and girl and father and mother. And it's the Bible that gives meaning to the word marriage, because God established the institution of marriage and the family. It's no surprise that Marxism in the 20th century attempted to erase the family and replace it with the state. Because from an atheistic point of view, the family is simply a social construct made up by religion. So why even have it? Why can't mankind evolve a new institution to replace marriage? And the Bible creates the concept of nations. Why have nations? Why have borders? Because God established a division of humanity in Genesis chapter 10. As Paul said to the philosophers in Athens, Acts 17, God appointed the boundaries of their habitation. The drive for globalism today, the drive for removing borders, is due to the intellectuals in our day abandoning God's truth and replacing it with their own vain speculations. So everything we take for granted in traditional Western culture, even our language, is being questioned and overturned because secularists have rejected biblical revelation and have turned aside to myths. Myths of their own making to fulfill their own desires. And I appreciate how Magluwadi points out that without the Bible, language collapses and there is no way of knowing what anything means. On his website, Revelation Moment, he has the header, "We cannot know truth if there's no revelation from God." A great Christian response to unbelievers is, "I know why racism is wrong. Because every man is made in the image of God. But why do you, an atheist, believe racism is wrong? Because evolution never produces anything that is equal or anything that is perfect or good." So without the Bible, God's revelation, we grope along the wall like a blind man. Deuteronomy 28:29, "And you will grope at noon as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you." That's the end of a society that rejects God's revelation. And this is where we're going today. Now, Magluwadi, being from India, has a very unique perspective in that he was raised in a Hindu-Buddhist culture. He knows firsthand what it's like to live in a nation that doesn't have the biblical values we take for granted. In Eastern religion, there is no confidence or belief in science because reality is considered an illusion. And the way to deal with suffering is not to exercise dominion over the earth, Genesis 1:28, but to detach yourself from life. In Hinduism and Buddhism, there is no personal, holy, active God to give purpose or meaning. In Hinduism, you are a god. Everything's a god. And these ideas have consequences. And so these cultures fall into lethargy, indifference, immorality, superstition, darkness. Magluwadi writes, "These are civilizations not built upon God's revelation, but on human myth and magic and mysticism. It takes God's revelation to transform a culture from error to truth." And not only a civilization, where do you end up as a person when you fail to build your life on the word of God? Well, how about Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20? "If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light, and they will fall into distress and darkness and gloom of anguish and be driven away into darkness." Or Romans chapter 1, "When you reject God and truth, you become futile in your speculations and your foolish heart is darkened." So the left, secular leaders in our day, do not understand where their godless ideas will lead, because they assume that all of the good things in society come from the secular enlightenment, from non-religion, and in their pride, they don't see that they're sawing off the branch upon which they're sitting. Magluwadi points out that no atheist country has ever guaranteed people freedom of conscience, because in a universe without God, consciousness and free will are just an illusion. In a universe without God, logic and language make no sense. And this is why the left today is going toward non-reason, toward mysticism and the occult. And it's only the Bible that stops tyrants, because only the scripture teaches that the king is not God, but God is the king. And without God, Caesar and the state become God. And of course, without man being made in the image of God, man is just a machine. And what do you do with machines? They're made simply to be controlled. Machines do not have human rights. So it's no surprise that the leftist intellectuals in our day are calling human rights an illusion, a social construct. So many of the good things we take for granted today originated from the Christian worldview that was embraced by Europe for 1,500 years. But now unbelievers are pulling out the roots of the flower, thinking that we can still have the flower. Magluwadi includes a great quote from George Orwell about the great writers and the intellectuals of the past few centuries. They were all rebels against God. Quote, nearly every thinking man was in some sense a rebel, and usually a quite irresponsible rebel. Literature was largely the literature of revolt or of disintegration. Gibbons, Voltaire, Rousseau, Shelley, Bryans, Dickens, Stendhal, Butler, Ibsen, Zola, Flaubert, Shaw, Joyce, in one way or another, they are, all of them, destroyers, wreckers, saboteurs. For 200 years, we have sawed and sawed and sawed at the branch we were sitting on. And in the end, much more suddenly than anyone had foreseen, our efforts were rewarded. And down we came. But unfortunately, there had been a little mistake. The thing at the bottom was not a bed of roses after all. It was a cesspool full of barbed wire. It is as though in the space of 10 years, we had slid back into the Stone Age. George Orwell. And among many examples of where rejecting God's truth will lead, Magluwadi quotes the famous atheist Richard Dawkins. Dawkins believed that all ethics were man-made, so there is no God who commanded, thou shalt not murder. So therefore, Dawkins says that he was looking forward to eating human flesh. He wanted to help demolish one of our ethical prejudices, the one that says cannibalism is wrong. Then Magluwadi points out that Uganda's cruel former dictator Idi Amin boasted that he had eaten human flesh. This is where we end up without God. As the Russian novelist Dostoevsky once said, without God, all things are permissible. And this is all the prophetic warning of Moses in Deuteronomy 29, that there are going to be people who rise up in Israel's future who will forget that their blessings come from following God in truth. And so they'll go after other gods, after man-made myths, and these people will take their blessings for granted, as if the blessing of a peaceful, upright society is natural to mankind. And they will say, hey, I have such peace, even though now I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart. Look, I'm leading an immoral life, and the sky is not falling. These are the people who live on the moral capital of Christianity, but at the same time, they plant the seeds of evil. And God says in Deuteronomy 29 that he will never forgive these destroyers. His anger will burn against them, and every curse which is written in this book will rest upon them, and the Lord will blot out their name from under heaven. So it's no small thing to forget God, to forget the source of our blessings. And it's no small thing to deconstruct biblical truth, thinking that it doesn't matter. You know, the prophet Ezekiel had a similar description of how Israel, in her pride, forgot the source of her blessings. Ezekiel 16, God found Israel as a filthy, starving, abandoned baby, saved her from death. But when Israel grew up, she didn't remember the days of her youth. But once clothed and given jewelry, she became a harlot. As a Puritan writer Cotton Mather said about America, Christianity begot prosperity, then the daughter devoured the mother. Magluwadi starts off his book with an illustration. He was visiting the city of St. Gallen in Switzerland. In the center of the town, there was a statue of Joachim von Watt. He's holding a Bible. He made the city prosperous by establishing the principles of the Protestant Reformation in the city. But in asking residents of the city who passed by, who is this man? And what is the book he's holding in his hand? Nobody knew. Great illustration of how modern man has forgotten God and truth. And so social leaders today are involved in deconstruction. Again, that's a term describing this movement to remove Christian truth from every aspect of our society. Please understand what's being taught in universities today, that truth and values are social constructs, and not just social constructs, but what is added to this is that these are evil social constructs. How do they establish this? By claiming that these values were created to get power. The language and the values of gender and family and borders and human rights were all social constructs created so that powerful people could oppress others. So all of these words like he and she and person and alive or self are deceiving us. We shouldn't be called any of these things. We should just be called animals. Because these Christian words were created as tools to manipulate people, to exploit people. That language was evolved to create these false illusions of personhood. And if we throw off these words and the values behind them, we're going to be free. And you can define your own truth and reality and make up your own words because you are God. And you know, this is the same old lie of the devil repackaged. So Magluwadi has written this book about the Bible's importance to warn and remind people what will happen if they abandon God's truth. One of the purposes of this radio program is to communicate to folks an understanding of what is happening in this world ideologically and practically. So that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not ignorant of what is being pushed upon you. When Satan was deceiving Adam and Eve in the garden, it certainly would have been helpful if someone could have explained to Adam and Eve who is Satan and that he was possessing the serpent and that he was twisting God's word to put doubts in their minds, that he was exaggerating God's prohibitions, and to explain what is really behind this desire for a knowledge of good and evil outside the will of God. Now, of course, God did not provide that help for Adam and Eve because God was testing their raw desires. But today, we do have a calling from God to testify to the truth and to expose the work of Satan in this world. Ephesians 5:11, expose the deeds of darkness. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And even Jesus' teachings included explaining to the people the modus operandi of this world. All of Matthew chapter 23 was about the hypocrisy and the lawlessness of the leadership, that these leaders were out for personal praise and power, that they were laying heavy burdens upon the people, that they were doing these things to be noticed by others, that they outwardly looked great, but inwardly they're full of corruption. So explain to people the philosophies, the motives, the agenda of this world is a very important part of gospel ministry. It's very important to explain to our generation that the secular philosophers want to deconstruct all biblical influences in our society. And that is why they're saying nations and gender and family and fathers and mothers and human rights and property rights are all human constructs that must be dismantled. This is what this culture war is all about. And most people go along with the culture as cogs in the machine, and they're totally clueless concerning the spiritual moral battle motivating these events. Now, having been made aware by God's people, the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth, Plenty of people will still reject Jesus Christ. They will see the light and crawl back into the cave. They might even agree with the deconstruction, saying, finally, let's get rid of all of these Christian rules for life. But for some, being made aware will draw them to God. They will see where this is all going, and they'll choose God's side. The more truth, the better. And that's why, as Christians, we must explain to people the lie versus the truth, so people can know and people can decide. Now, apart from the individual decision, there is the social political decision. Magliwadi explains that in 1524, the city of St. Gallen in Switzerland voted that the Bible would be the basis for the intellectual, social, economic, political, diplomatic life of the city. Quote, St. Gallen's decision to make God's word its light was simple but not trivial. If anything, it was more honest than the U.S. 1776 Declaration of Independence. The citizens of St. Gallen did not pretend that their ideas about human equality and inalienable rights were self-evident. They knew these truths were revealed in the Bible. They realized that since all power belongs to God, all human authority was ultimately given by God and was therefore accountable to Him. This meant human rule must conform to God's righteousness. The decision to make God's revelation the authority in the human realm was political as well as philosophical. It freed the citizens to seek truth for themselves in the Bible. It obligated them to apply God's word to their personal and corporate lives, to their sexual as well as their business life. It was a vote against tradition and for freedom with responsibility. The city knew perfectly well that their vote to seek and live by God's truth would annoy some religious authorities. It would change the brutal religious and political power structure that needed to be changed. It would set in motion a chain reaction that would usher in our modern age. Well, two things in this. First, that a people have to decide what will be the source of their laws, man or God. And second, even Magliwadi from India realizes that Thomas Jefferson made a huge mistake in writing in the Declaration of Independence that truth is self-evident. Magliwadi explains later, it was a compromise between the Christians, who would have written truth comes from the word of God, and those of the secular enlightenment who would have written truth comes from man. Jefferson equivocated to please both sides, and in doing so, we have been left with a culture war over the source of truth. But again, this is the commitment every one of us need to make, to either follow God's revelation or to follow one's own way. Magliwadi ends his book with a short chapter entitled, Can the West Be Renewed? Well, his conclusion is that the Bible provides the only available good news for a better future. We can only be saved if we return to the authority of God's Word. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website, the new updated website, is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again, or over 400 other programs dealing with various subjects. That's godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the entrance of your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Help us to appreciate our need and the precious value of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.